Bhakti Kanangiri Maharaj ki jai, Srimad Bhakti Chandan Parvat Maharaj ki jai, Seva Vrinda ki jai, Samaveda Bhakta Vrinda ki jai, Nitai Go Premanande. It seems like we were just together. So many things have been discussed in the last few days and eternally. Any questions that anyone has? I like to address questions if possible. Yes.
We've heard before that that Shiguru is as good as God. And we even heard that Shiguru is better than God.
Mm-hmm.
Can you explain how this
could be so? Yes. Well, who's saying these things? We should find the culprit. Right? Who said? Not. His name is Krishna. Mad Bhaktya Puja Abhyadika. In the Uddhava Gita in the 11th canto. It's interesting, as a side point, that it's Krishna's parting instructions as he goes where Nityalila, prakat, aprakat, manifest pastimes, unmanifest pastimes, but withdrawing from this plane, he's giving some final instructions to Uddhava. And this one is it's one line out of many, a phrase, but very important, and maybe it's the sum and substance of Krishna consciousness. Mad Bhakta Puja Abhyadika. He says, my devotee's worship takes precedence over the worship of myself. It's also in that section that what you express. Acharjam mani, acharjam yam vijaniyam, navamanyeta karhachit, namartya bhujya suyeta sarvadeva mayoguru. He says, I am the acharja. Right? And this is mystical and mysterious and wonderful, that to help us understand this, Guru Maharaj points out when he says, there's the Vaishnava, the inspired side of the Vaishnava is the Guru. And once I said to him, I said, but that implies there's like a non-inspired side? And at one point, Guru Maharaj just sort of like stopped this type of, and he said, we are trying to get the grace of these souls. He said, if you try and analyze too much, looking into the background, what does the background mean? Objectively, you'll be misled. So-called objective reality is, you know, it's misleading. It's, you know, the education of ignorance. Right. Like when that student from San Francisco State met Srila Guru Maharaj, and just some person who was kind of making the rounds in India, some devotee collared and brought to the mat, sort of like, here's one of my friends, student at the San Francisco State. And Guru Maharaj said, oh, and what are you studying? He said, philosophy. And Guru Maharaj said, oh, diving deep into ignorance. Like, generic, off-the-shelf ignorance wasn't enough for you. Like, you went like, you know, what's that dose they give, like, when the injection that brings someone back to life? Yeah, or it has a needle the size of this mic stand. And like, so you're diving deep into ignorance. What does that mean? Objective experience. The objective side. So we could paraphrase and say that Krishna is saying, don't see namartya buddhya suyeta. Don't rely upon objective experience. This is totally subjective. Guru Maharaj's favorite, one of his favorite examples, he said, hypnotism. As he compels us to see him, we see him. So, but here he's emphasizing that one would naturally think, like, if we say, God, who compares to God? You know, it's like, you know, accept no substitute. Right? But he's telling us that in his representation, his delegated descent as guru, that he's more accessible. Right. This is Guru Maharaj before he joined the Gaudiya Math, when he was like visiting the temple, and on one Gaur Purnima he saw that Saraswati Thakur was on in India what they call the first floor, in America second floor. There, and his intimate devotees were with him. And there was Mahaprabhu and the pujari with Mahaprabhu. And Guru Maharaj said, so your concept is that Mahaprabhu is within the deity? You know, and the man said, no! You know. Sakshad Brajanda Nandana Hari. He's directly the Lord. Or is that Deha Dehi Vibedo Yamneshare Vidite Kvachit? He's the deity. Non-different. Not that he's within the deity. He is the deity. Directly the Lord is there. But he didn't understand. Guru Maharaj was setting him up for a follow-up question. He said, then, how come your Guru Maharaj is upstairs and the superior devotee, they're with him, and not any slight on yourself, but one of the worship of the deity has been relegated to one in a secondary position. If he is, as you say, directly Krishna, the Lord. In this case, Mahaprabhu. As Guru Maharaj said, that, you know, that he's a member of Gaudiya Math, right? Trained. Like they said, if you send a dog from the Gaudiya Math to a meeting, he'll defeat the opposition. Because those dogs, we know, as we see that in Calcutta, those dogs, they hear all the classes, they hear all the RTs. The holy name. Just send a Gaudiya Math dog and he'll field the questions and defeat the opposition. What to speak of one of the members? So this man had connection with Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Right? And he said, Mahaprabhu is more present in our Guru Maharaj. And Guru Maharaj said, that I had to think about. That caught him. He thought that was astonishing and revelatory. He said, he's more present and more accessible in the Vaishnava. Right? And we're told, as you know, there's an element within us that hesitates to embrace this truth. Right. But I didn't say that Srila Guru Maharaj, one thing we learned in coming in connection with him is that if your Krishna consciousness is to be viable and progressive, that you have to be brutally honest with yourself. And that doesn't mean, oh yes, it's hopeless, seek another shelter. That's not what it means. That's foolish. But it means a candid assessment of one's progress, one's position, etc. And Srila Guru Maharaj was, you know, embarrassingly candid about things that you might want to conceal to give others the impression of some elevated thing. He is willing to share those things without hesitation as part of his spiritual journey, you could say. So he said, when I first came, I was thinking that we're being told, and it's in the Vedas, it's everywhere, he knows that, every quote. Right? Rupa goes, Adau Guru Vashvayam, the first, you have to accept the shelter of a guru. If your spiritual life is to be viable, substantial, meaningful, beyond fashion and fiction, you have to take shelter of a Vaishnava. Gurudev is the best Vaishnava. Amongst the Vaishnavas, Guru. And he said, but I was thinking, and I'm agreeable to that, but that someday my heart's inner hankering for a direct connection with Krishna will be satisfied. But, and whatever I have to do, then happily I'm accepting all that. He said, but in time I came to realize that the Vaishnava is everything. And he heard the address of Professor Sanyal when he won Vyas Puja address, where this is the first time he was hearing this concept that he said to Saraswati Thakur, because you, as Radharani's delegation, because you, she has some connection with Krishna, therefore we have some connection, otherwise not. I mean, you say, oh, yeah, these devotees, these guru-bhaving devotees, they're just like, they're so fanatical. The guru is everything. Even Guru Maharaj himself said, we're not like those who make much about guru. You know, what does he mean? We're saying guru is everything, Vaishnava is everything. Jai, Saparikar, Shishi, Guru, Guru, Nandavika, Giri, Hari. He meant in a sentimental way. Like that. Gurupis. That tendency might be there. A little bit. But we're fighting that. But when Sanyal said that, for Guru Maharaj, it was an epiphany. It was shocking. Right? What's the Shastric support for it? Raghunath Das Goswami. Sakayame, mama namostu namostu nityam dasyasyate, mama rasastu rasastu satyam. There's always a scriptural reference from the Goswamis for anything substantial. And otherwise, it's a song of Ramananda Rai. In other words, Hridayena Bhunugato Yodharmastad Nibodha. Where's religion? How did you hear about religion? It came from the heart of a devotee. Right? Really, substantially, that's what Manu's telling us. If you want to know what it is, really, he doesn't say, you know, read my book. You know, it's called the Manu Sangita. I put a lot of work into it. You know, it's like the original lawyer. But like the good, after that, it was downhill. But he's saying, Hridayena Bhunugyato, where is it? It's found in the heart of the Vaishnava. Well, how will I know? In your heart, you'll know. Is that like an L.A. kind of thing? No. You know. He means, in the core of your heart. There'll be some sympathetic vibration to that. Like, and we can say, well, we can be deceived. People are always saying, my heart does not, look at the, you know, divorce rate. That's supposed to be, you know, what initially people felt was like a heart-to-heart transaction. Yeah. But, you know, somewhere along the line, people are, you know, I've been cheated, you know. But, so, therefore, Guru Maharaj would say, if you do not deceive yourself, no one can deceive you. Nahi kalyanakrit kasya durgatim tata gacchati. If you're sincere for a connection with Krishna, then the absolute descends in relative circumstances and transcends relative circumstances, including our lack of just about everything, including understanding, consciousness, qualifications. You know, it's a long list, right? But if we're sincere to meet him, then he descends in relative circumstance. How? Sadhu Shastra. But devotees are living scriptures, right? As once, because as Guru Maharaj told, what Saraswati Thakur, the demands of his Krishna conception as a guru were extreme. So even long-time followers had to repeatedly reconceptualize Krishna consciousness. Why? It's living, growing, dynamic. It's the infinite. To Guru Maharaj, to think that you've realized the infinite is just like, you know, that's the funniest thing he's ever heard. It's laugh out loud. You know, it doesn't pass the giggle test. Right? So, what are they saying? What was the last thing before that?
And they had to reconceptualize.
So he's exactly. Jagannanda pays attention, you know. Been paying attention for around, you know, 30 years. So he said our Guru Maharaj's pronouncements were mainly revolutionary, not just like once in a blue moon, but regularly revolutionary. And that demanded, you know, die to live reconceptualization. Whatever you thought it was up to this point, think again. Right. So, Guru Maharaj, hearing that, forever the reconceptualist. I remember so many times Guru Maharaj would say to me sometimes like, "This came to me 3 days ago." There are things that came to him 30 years ago, but that evolved and continued. But sometimes he said, this came to me 3 days ago, and then say something. Always getting something fresh. So anyway, he said, he came to that conclusion, that the Vaishnava is everything. And one of his examples, he said, he's noted for his use of analogy, telling the telescopic system, when it comes to guru and guru parampara. Normally, if something's placed before the eyes, it creates opacity, right? Unless it's a lens, right? So, saying the telescopic conception of the disciplic succession, each devotee is like a devotional lens. So one lens, another lens. It's not creating opacity, but what is remote or abstract? Like when we're talking about God, use the word God. God is a very abstract term. Very remote, very distant, very abstract. But that conception has become refined and clarified, comes nearer through this series of devotional lenses known as the Guru Parampara. So, but still, it's faith-based transaction. So Srila Guru Maharaj said, interestingly, said from this perspective, that guru should be considered nitya-siddha, not sadhan-siddha or kripa-siddha. We should not think of him as someone who achieved a certain position, but as someone who descended from that plane. He said, why? To collect the maximum shraddha from the disciple. And then we can think, well, is that some sort of self-delusion? Like, I'll pretend that's true, so I'll get the maximum benefit from what I hear? No. We come back to what Krishna is saying, acharjam mam vijaniyam. That inspiration that's descending in the heart of that Vaishnava, I'm there. I'm revealing myself to you. And in fact, if you look at him objectively and allow that objective criteria to influence or somehow diminish your appreciation of what's descending to you, it's offensive and cheating yourself. Objective experience cheats us from realizing spiritual substance. Right? We're riveted to verifying things by objective means. Right? When Srinivas Acharya, in the aftermath of Mahaprabhu's manifest pastimes, still many great devotees were in different places throughout India. So we know Srinivas Acharya, Narottam Thakur, Shyamananda Prabhu, they were going in search of them. They'd hear, oh, Ishan Prabhu, he's still, you know, living in Navadvipa. So, and the one devotee still extant was Abhiram Thakur. So Srinivas Acharya went to see him. And Abhiram Thakur literally, employed the rope, it's a rope, it's a snake scenario with him to test his faith. I mean, like, I'm not going to waste my time on someone whose belief is that wanting. They won't draw sufficiently, right? So Srinivas Acharya passed the test. Gurudev told the story of Vishishta Rishi, some particular spiritual knowledge Vishwamitra approached him for, and Vishwamitra said, Vishishta Rishi said, oh, Anantadev is the expert in that field. I advise you to go to Anantadev. And he goes, Anantadev's at the bottom of the universe there, holding the planets, universes, whatever. And he approaches him for that knowledge. And Anantadev said, you know, holding all these planets, universe, this is, you know, really giving me a headache. Could you just help out if you would, like, you'd hold a few, you know, I could answer your question, but otherwise this is like, you know, it's a strain. And he summons all of his yogic power achieved by tapasya and whatever, and he can't sustain a planet. And Anantadeva says, is that, you know, give it your best shot. Is that what you've got? He said, anything else you're going to, any sadhu sangha? He said, oh, well, I was with Vishishta Rishi. It was just like for a few moments. Summon that. And then mysteriously, miraculously, he's able to sustain planets, planetary systems. And I was like, what a relief. How can I help you? He said, oh, there's a specific knowledge that I'm interested in. And he said, oh, Vishishta Rishi is the expert in that film. I advise you to approach him. And Vishwamitra Muni is, you know, he's getting the runaround from Anantadev. This is actually the origin of the runaround, if you know where it came from. Anyway, so he returns to Vasishtha, but hot. I came to see you. You told me to go to Anantadeva. I go to Anantadeva. He's telling me to approach you. I don't understand. Why? Why wouldn't you tell me before? You're the expert in this field, but you wouldn't instruct me. He said, because you had no faith in me. So if faith is not there, just the shell, the shell of the substance. So when he then had maximum faith in him, then it was time to hear that. So admittedly, our faith is weak, right? So we're told, we're advised, Saru Sangha Satovare. Like, Saru Sangha, Saru Sangha, Sarva Shastra Koi. Lava Matra Saru Sangha. He was with Vasishtha for a moment, and this led to his accumulating some invaluable wealth. So, those who are in the same line and superior, if we'll get their association, and what does that mean? Really, through service, through a service connection, that association becomes meaningful. Not just to be in their physical proximity, but through service. Then we're told the wealth, the spiritual wealth, devotional wealth, which is in the heart of that Vaishnava, will be transferred to the servitor. As I've mentioned sometimes, that once we were hearing Srila Guru Maharaj explain the Chaitanyastakam of Srila Rupa Goswami. But some questions arose from that. So I went to ask Srila Gurudev a particular verse to clarify something. And he gave a very beautiful explanation of that. And I asked him, I said, so when did you study this? And because all of the verses are not in the Chaitanya Charitamritam. And the one where that's what led to, one that was being discussed is not. There are more than a few in the pages of the Chaitanya Charitamritam, but they're not all there. And this was one of them that was not there. And then he's explaining it. So I said, oh, when did you study it? And he said, I've never studied it. And I was a little puzzled. And he said, every day when Srila Guru Maharaj is bathing, at the time of his bathing, when he's taking the loda with the water and pouring the water of Navadvip upon his divine head, he is chanting the Chaitanyastakam of Rupa Goswami. And he said, and at that time, I was doing some service to him. Right? It's the bathing time. He's going around doing various services for Srila Guru Maharaj. And he said, but by Guru Maharaj, every day, he's bathing, chanting Chaitanyastakam, and Gurudev, he's serving Guru Maharaj. He said, the Chaitanyastakam appeared within the heart of Srila Gurudev. Substantially. So, Guru Maharaj saying, the Vaishnava is everything. Right? The devotee. What is the message of the Bhagavatam? If we look at it, essentially, is this. Well, there's an interesting sloka in the first canto, Tadeva Hyatu. Priya Paramahansanam Tadeva Hyachita Priya, where Narada is telling Vyas, or Vyas is realizing after Narada's chastisement what he's got to do. What was his fault, basically? That he gave religion to people. That's what Narada Muni's chastising him for. And religion in the mundane sense that, you know, how to live successfully in the mundane world, or at best some advice how to, what's the diet to cure your disease. But the life after you're cured, you haven't told. Muktir hit vanyata rupam svaropena vivastiti. That there's a prospect of a life of love with Krishna. Jive swarupai krishnera nityadas. And the spiritual world. That you haven't told. And so in this sloka, he's voicing his own realization. Yes, I didn't tell about the glories of Achyuta Priya. But this is interesting because Achyuta Priya can mean two things. Can mean Krishna, or who, you know, Achyuta, that Achyuta is Priya, very dear to the, but it says Priya Paramahamsanam, who's most dear to the topmost devotees. But Achyuta Priya can also mean Srimati Radharani. So in Srila Guru Maharaj's sloka, that was part of his introduction to his Bhagavatam collection, Sripadamodar took 1,000 rays of the Bhagavat sun, Bhagavat Arkamarichi Mala, Guru Maharaj to extract 300 using Gadadhar Pandit's selection criteria, which is recorded in his Gadadhar Pranam. But here, he says, Yadamiyam Mahima Sri Bhagavatam Katayam Pratipadam Anubhutam Apya Labdavideya Tad akila rasa murti shamalila avalambam madura rasadi shri radha pada padmam prapadye. Ostensibly, her name is not mentioned in the pages of the Bhagavatam, but every page, every line, every verse is meant only to bring us to the understanding of her supreme position. Right? Srimati Radharani. Devotion. The Srimad Bhagavatam, which we're told is presenting Krishna conception, is all about devotion. Nirmatsaranam satam. If you're envious of the devotee or lacking appreciation for the devotee, you can't understand the Srimad Bhagavatam. You won't be given entrance in the mysteries of its understanding, what the book is about. You'll miss that. You'll miss the point of Krishna Lila. Shama Lila Avalambam, the Madhura Rasa pastimes of Krishna are all dependent upon one person. Right? As when Srila Gurudev was speaking yesterday, Rasa Raj Mahabhav Duyak, Mahabhav, the one, if Krishna's Akhila Rasamrita Murti, that's wonderful. But Mahabhav means the one who can extract that the maximum, all of the rasa from the Rasamrita Murti. So, when you said devotee is greater than God. Jayadev Goswami, when he's writing the Gita Govinda, it came to the part to write, the devotee is greater than God. I'm paraphrasing. And he thought, I can't write that. He was hesitating to write something that Hridayena Bhinu Gyato Yodharmastha Nibodhata appeared in his heart that would put Krishna in the secondary position, and Srimati Radharani in the primary position. The devotee is greater than God. And he thought, I'm getting carried away here. This is too much. This is just, it's too much. I'm trembling. And we should also take note of that. Jayadev Goswami, he's hesitating to do this. Devotees must learn to live with the uncertainty principle. There's no certainty in Krishna consciousness in that sense. Right? Therefore, the strategy, take shelter of the devotee of Krishna. That is certain. Our position is tenuous. Anyway, even the great devotees are showing that. He's hesitating to write that. We casually say so many things, casually, carelessly. Jayadev Goswami is hesitating to, he doesn't think, I'm such a great poet, I'm this, I'm that, and if I write this, but no. He's thinking, this is too much. He's uncertain about that. Is it genuine? What's appearing? Is this the substantial thing? And we're to ahoitikya pratyata. It's irresistible. So what's the first line of defense for the devotees? To attempt resistance. Not to try and augment, but to resist. They're thinking, no, not considering, no. These sort of things coming, it's not real. It's not substantial. But then we hear, Krishna himself descends and pens those words. He said, yes, what can you? I want it, and I want, not only that, not only is it real and substantial, I want it to be broadcast to the world that she is superior to me. As I mentioned in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, not even Krishna can fully estimate her qualities and her position. And he wants that to be known, to be celebrated. Radha bhava duti subolitom nomi Krishna surupam. Like we know, if you get good association, you can be converted into a devotee. Krishna has very good association. The best. And he's converted. And once you've converted him, the rest of him. Jari gorna hoita, tabiki hoita, kemone dari tam dehe, radhar mahima, prema rasasima jagata janatake. So, Vasudev goes saying, if Mahaprabhu would not come down, what would not be known? Radhar Mahima, the greatness of Srimati Radharani, Prema Rasa Simha, and the limits, or the non-limits of divine, of Krishna Prem. So, Satchit Anandam, ultimately this is targeting Anandam, feeling. That must come from the devotees. They have the appreciation from Guru. And when Krishna becomes Guru, he becomes Gauranga. Guru Maharaj has written that very beautifully in the Prapanna Jivanamritam. Guru Rupa Harim Gauram Radha Ruchi Ruchavritam Nityam Nomi Navadvipe Namakirtana Nartanai. The Guru Rupa of Hari is Gaura. How beautiful is that? And then when he say Radha Ruchi Ruchavritam, and he's covered with Radha Ruchi. Radha Bhava Duti Sivalitam, and all, he's beautifully taken from Srup Damodar, Rupa Goswami, and put all these things there. So Guru Maharaj, as we told the other day, he said, when I think of Srimati Radharani, I lose my existence. And then he said, so his attraction toward Mahaprabhu and Radharani. And at 92 he said, but recently some affinity for Krishna. And even then he qualified. He said, because if you're going to enter her group of service, naturally there has to be. Like that, he was saying. Recently, some appreciation from Krishna. Any other question? Yes, Jagadananda Prabhu.
You talked about the
devotees came back from the West.
Oh.
And they said, oh, you ask questions that can't, they ask questions that can't be answered. Have you ever heard what those questions were?
It's not, you know, not, I don't believe I have. But Guru Maharaj might, and some of the things he's told us might be answers to those questions. But yeah.
And was Bhan Maharaj who was coming
back? Yes, it was.
And it's so ironic because he was considered such a philosopher.
Right. And his forte. And also, you know, this, you know, first, let us bow our heads to the disciples of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. This is some, you know, tatasta vichar, and we know the soil they sprung out of, and, you know, where we came from. Now, I was had an image of the meadowlands in New Jersey, which are not actually meadows. They're swamps. But they call them the meadowlands. But so his, what one, he's one of the leading disciples of Saraswati Thakur, and his forte was that he could speak Krishna consciousness, give a lecture in English without any Sanskrit, and the substance would be there. That's why he was very useful in preaching to English-speaking people, because his talk would not be filled with a lot of Sanskrit words, yet substantial.
Yeah.
Yes, Guru Maharaj's perfect answer to that is actually that's why that is so important, is that's the basis of all theism, is in that expression, and also it gives a tip of the hat to rational thinking, really. Because it's saying, yes, by finite means, you cannot know the infinite. So when rationalists, scientists, and they say, oh, no, you know, we've, objectively speaking, you can't prove this. That's correct. We don't have to, you know, start hyperventilating. It's true. That's what Atak Shri Krishna Namadi Nabhavyed Brahmanye means. We say, you know, Krishna can say, it's beyond human comprehension. So you're going to have to get another vocabulary, like achintya, you know, inconceivable, etc. But Guru Maharaj's answer was so perfect when he said, if the infinite cannot make itself known to the finite, then it's not infinite. And if even a rationalist can follow what's being said there, they'd have to agree. I mean, there's infinite possibility. Before we go all theistic, saying the infinite, by infinite possibility, it must be, you know, you say, no, it can't be. Then you're denying that there's any such thing as infinite. So the infinite, by infinite means, can make itself known to the finite. Otherwise, it's not infinite. So both things are acceptable. Right? Yeah, the finite can't know the infinite by finite means, but the infinite can make himself known to the finite by infinite means. What are those means? Revelation. This is the starting point. If someone cannot accept this, at least theoretically, or the potential, they can't acknowledge the potential of the infinite making itself known to the finite. They can't culture theism in any progressive or substantial way, right?
So something, yeah. Defeats the ascending process there.
Right, exactly. And that's what I'm saying. It gives some recognition that we don't have a problem with that. Saying, yeah, you can't prove this rationally. Right? You can't prove the existence of God objectively. It is, and we make a mistake when, you know, when devotees get all excited, you know, in their email box is a NASA picture, you know, from outer space proving, you know, blah, blah, blah. But that's not faith. That's not the culture of faith. Actually, that is antithetical to the culture of faith. Right? Faith is, it's a rope, it's a snake, it's a snake, it's a rope. And as and I might add, when you say that a rope is a snake, and, you know, like, that one's easy. But that the snake is a rope, a little more difficult. So, it, you know, we're being assaulted by objective experience. Theistic culture means leaving it away. Saraswati Thakur, he didn't, once more, you know, no holds barred, whatever. When he says, Tad Bani Pranipatane, he says, I'm finished with the experience of this world, implied, and the methods of gathering experience in this world. It has nothing to do with it. Not like a little bit, or like, well, what about, what? Just wholesale, trash it all. Delete your file, you know. You need to be reformatted. It's called initiation. Right? Really, there's nothing valuable to be gathered here. That experience, it's not going to be helpful in assessing the infinite. That's, I mean, the sum total of the finite is never equal to the infinite. It's not like a little bit finite, a whole lot of finite. No, you know, the sum total of the finite is never equal to a particle of the infinite. Guru Maharaj paraphrases that Ekang Sena Stito Jagat, Krishna telling Arjuna, when you like really stretch your mind and think of what is infinite, that's nothing to me. Right? He can show innumerable infinites, that, you know, like, let me know when you get tired of it. Right? So when Guru Maharaj had a migraine and Badrinath, and then, and he was in his room, like lying in the bed, and outside in the room, one man who was like very learned in Sanskrit and Veda, you know, having an argument with a devotee, like gentleman's argument, like, whether the soul exists, whether God exists, they're going back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. Excuse me. Then Guru Maharaj called that man to his side, who was doubting the existence of God, doubting the existence of the soul. Just like Bertrand Russell very cleverly positioned himself as an agnostic, because he knew that objectively speaking, you can't prove the existence of God or dismiss the existence of God. So he positioned himself for the sake of argument as an agnostic. So whatever you say, he'd say, well, I don't know. Sounds good, but I don't know. I don't know. You say God exists? I don't know. God doesn't? I don't know. Right. So that position was defensible. And so this man is doubting. Does God exist? The soul exist? And Guru Maharaj just called him to his side and said, does the doubter exist? Who is doubting, holding doubt? Do they exist? And then, and he quoted that Atma Parigyanamayo about self-evident and pointing towards revelation. And he said, I've heard that sloka so many times. Now I understand what it means. So he brought him to the most basic point. Who's doubting? Do they exist? If you can understand that plane, then that's the beginning of spiritual culture. It's okay to be a doubting theist. If you're an atheist with doubts, you're just, you know, a plagued theist. You know. Asang shayam samagramam yata gyashashi tachranu. Krishna Krishna says, hearing from me and all your doubts will be touched, renew. Hear from me and your doubts will be removed. But what we are seeking connection with is not a thing of this world. So Guru Maharaj left and then said, then people will say you're mad. You're trading solid ground for sky pie, for something insubstantial. Because they have no faith that these are the substantial things. Hearing about Tavakatamritam Taptajivitam Kavibir Iditam Kalmasha Apaham. We were in a place called it's one of the Russian town with a long Russian name, Petrozavodsk. And there's a big lake there. Anyway, and we were there in someone's house and having some Harikatha, and everyone was very happy. And the host's sister sort of said, why don't you do something useful? Like, you know, we could go out and distribute food to people or, you know. But you're here, you're just all night, you people are just talking about Krishna. And that's the point. Jesus sees no value in that. The devotees see all value in that. Mahaprabhu said, you know, buridajana. Or, you know, burida, now you've given me something substantial. You know, stanestita shrutikatam tanuvan manobhir. So stop trying to figure out the infinite with your finite brain, or Saraswati Thakur's word, puppy brain. And just hear, when you hear its descending truth, hear from a substantial devotee, something substantial enters your heart. And Guru Maharaj said, the flag of Krishna is planted at that point. Just like, you know, they always put a flag to establish ownership. When you hear from the devotee, the flag of Krishna is planted in the heart. And Krishna is mine. And gradually his conception takes over the heart. Once it's established in that soil. So, hearing about Krishna is the substantial thing. And Guru Maharaj said also, he said, and we are very fortunate because we are forced to talk about Krishna. So Arpa is very special and wonderful and fortunate. Hare Krishna. Hare Harai Namo Krishna Yadavaya Namo. Hare Harai Namo Krishna Yadavaya Namo. Hare Harai.